Lord, we've already been singing with joyful, thankful hearts this morning. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We're blessed people this morning, Lord. We're blessed men. We're blessed women. Because you've taken the initiative and given the invitation sometime in the distant or recent past to come and taste of you. And what we have tasted of you, Lord Jesus, is wonderful. You more than satisfy our souls. And we love you for making that way possible, that we could know God, be known by God, and have purpose for our lives, for the reason we were created. And we thank you, Lord, that we are blessed, because by your grace, Lord, through the clear proclamation of the gospel, we've come to trust and rely in you and believe that God is good all the time, every situation, every circumstance. God is good. You're nothing but good, Lord. And so we worship you and, as it were, Lord, sit at your feet again this morning as we have opportunity to hear your voice. We pray that you would speak with clarity. And in the speaking, Lord, that you would impart faith, living faith, Lord, that we might respond, Lord, to your word this morning and to the promise of your word, Lord, and experience more of Jesus and the resurrection power of Jesus in our lives and in our church today. Do it, Lord, we pray, all for your glory. Amen. Well, there's some of you who are sitting here this morning and you're hurting and you're suffering some kind of an internal pain for one of two reasons, I believe. One reason would be something that you can name is causing you pain. Or secondly, someone that you love or care for is causing you pain. And you're here this morning. You look fine on the outside, but inside you're carrying pain and sorrow. And there's another element for some of you that adds to your pain. And it has to do with God himself. It comes in the form of biblical questions, beginning with words like why, where, how, where are you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why have you forsaken me? How long? You want to know where God is in all of this that you're going through. That's your question. You want to know why right now he seems so far away. And how long will I have to bear with this pain, Lord, before I see a breakthrough? The Psalms, of course, are full of this kind of language, aren't they? Perhaps that's why we love the Psalms so much. And suffering and injustice in the Psalms are frequent. And not only that, but they seem to have the upper hand. We sing a hymn in our church, and one of the lines is, pain and chaos seem to be winning. I emphasize that word, seem. You know what I'm talking about. Pain and chaos seem to be winning if we're real. God seems to be absent. He seems to be uncaring. The psalmist seems to be saying, if I can put it in these words, God, you're not acting very godlike. God, you're not acting very, very godlike. Why are my prayers not being answered? Your lack of intervention, Lord, only serves to deepen my pain. We love the Psalms because we can relate to the Psalms, and the psalmist is very real and got honest, but the Psalms are there for a reason, of course. They give expression to how we are feeling, many of us. And we turn to them when we pass through our dark valleys, like some of you perhaps are passing through right now, group this size. Surely there are some, and I believe this is why the Lord has directed me to share this message with you. The Psalms give permission to pour out our anguish to God, even in the form of complaint, if you like, which surprisingly God can take, and we can complain to him as the psalmist did, providing we do it honestly and humbly and in a biblical way. But we find that our complaint and pouring our hearts honestly to God actually end up turning into a song of praise, albeit in a minor key. And we find maybe not some immediate change in our circumstances, but we find some kind of comfort to our souls in and through it all. And these prayers of lament, if you like, they ultimately lead us to trust in God, despite the pain and reality of what is going on in our lives. This pain that we feel, this suffering, these emotions that we're going through, they're difficult because they are not based on truth, but they feel true. They're not based on truth, but it sure feels true, what I'm going through. And we thank God that certainly if not in this life, ultimately faith will look back and things will all make sense in reverse. Because God is good. God is always good and all of his ways are perfect. There's a day coming when everything will be crystal clear. I said to Tom the other day, I'm sending you a book. Should arrive tomorrow from Amazon. It's written by a pastor I know in Indianapolis. His name is Mark Vrogop. He's the pastor of College Park Church in Indianapolis, and he's a colleague of mine working in the ministry of Daniel Henderson, the 6-4 Fellowship. And the book is called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. It's a very good church. How good is that church in Indianapolis, College Park Church? That's the church that Vice President Mike Pence goes to. It's a large church, well over 2,000 people. But in this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Mark tells a story. It's a heartbreaking story of how his fully developed unborn child, Sylvia, after numerous attempts to get pregnant, they carried Sylvia through full term, and she was born, stillborn. And that was devastating to him and his wife, Sarah. And in the following years, she had multiple pregnancies and multiple miscarriages until finally, looked like things were going well. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back, went in for an ultrasound, and this is what the doctor said to her. The ultrasound is not showing a baby in the womb. The ultrasound is not showing a baby in the womb. It's a condition we call a blighted ovum, a false positive pregnancy. And Mark and his wife were devastated by this news. And sitting in the parking lot in their car together, Sarah prayed this prayer. Lord, I know you're not mean, but it sure feels like it. Lord, I know you're not mean, but it sure feels like it. She's being gut honest. My wife's the sci-fi fan in our family. She loves Star Wars. She loves Tolkien. Tolkien, of course, was a contemporary of C.S. Lewis and the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. But he created a word, apparently, and the word he created was ooh-catastrophe. Ooh-catastrophe. And it was a combination of something bad, catastrophe, coupled with something good, ooh, in the Greek, EU. For instance, a eulogy, EULOGY, a eulogy, which is normally spoken at funerals, is you say good things about the person who died, right? So whenever you tack on the prefix EU to something, it means something good. So he invented this word, eucatastrophe, okay? And in his films and books, you frequently find a eucatastrophe where there's a sudden turn in the story for good. If Good Friday was a catastrophe, Sunday was a eucatastrophe. Amen? And Mark, in his book, talking about lamenting, he says these things. Praying our lament and complaint to God is the language that helps you believe catastrophe can become a eucatastrophe. Mark says, lament rooted in what we believe. Lament is rooted in what we believe. It is a biblical prayer with theology behind it. Lament vocalizes a desire for justice that is unfulfilled. Lament is the language of waiting for God's justice to be accomplished. Lament will not last forever. Christians lament expectantly. And lament confesses that hard is hard, but hard is not bad. It changes along the way, and it changes us on the way. Knowing God's goodness, knowing that God really is good, and believing in His sovereignty causes us to pray boldly. We're going to do that in a few moments. Though it may be boldly through tears of pain and suffering. We all know as Christians that a day is coming when we will lament no more. For the scripture says in Revelation 21:4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Until that day, believers in Jesus, we live and walk in two different worlds. One is between earthly brokenness and heavenly restoration. And when we pray like this, when we pray prayers of lament and crying out to God out of our pain, ultimately it turns us from why to who. and His character, His promises, and His sovereignty. And so this morning, we are going to open up the scripture, and we are going to look at four people in the Gospels that are hurting big time. Four people that heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus and they had an encounter with Him that changed their lives, their own lives and the lives of others. So what I'd like to do is entitle this message, Have You Heard of Jesus? Have you heard of Jesus? There's hardly a person in the West, Western civilization, who hasn't heard about Jesus, but that knowledge of Jesus has no bearing whatsoever on their lives personally. Most people believe, in the West anyway, most people believe in Jesus generally, but not personally. They believe, or they speak about Him superficially, but not in any kind of experiential or experimental way. But not so with the four people, and this is why it's huge, what they heard and how they responded to Jesus. With the four characters, two are men, two are women. With the four characters, we've got two Jews, and we have two Gentiles, rich and poor, high standing, high social standing, low social standing, despised, honored in the community, significant people, insignificant people. And what they had in common is that they were all desperate. They were all desperate. And by Jesus, they were all treated equally and impartially. Aren't you grateful for that? And all four, they heard about Jesus. They believed. They acted or responded to what they heard. And they received what they were asking for, and each were commended by Jesus. So have you got the four figured out yet? Some of them, maybe. But before we look specifically at those four, what possibly could they have heard? It says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, His fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and He healed them. So with the four, perhaps they actually heard Him, actually heard His words, heard what He said, or they heard about Him, His works, what He did. And as you know from the scripture, with hearing comes faith. God speaks faith through His word. May He do that this morning. So who are the four that heard? Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse 25, for the first one. And the issue was a disease, a blood issue, a blood disease. Mark 5, verse 25 through 27. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Here it is, verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You wonder what specifically she heard. I'm turning to Matthew 14, verse 34, and it says, verse 35, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Is that what she heard? All I've got to do is touch his garment. And you know the story so well that she did do that, and she was healed. And Jesus commended her and said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Our second person is also a woman, a Gentile, and the issue was demonic. The first was disease, the second was demonic. And if we turn to Mark 7, verse 25, we read her story. There was a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit when she heard about him. Take note of that. She heard about Jesus. And she came and fell at his feet. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, that's true, Lord. Yet, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And Jesus said, oh, woman, great is your faith. What had she heard that caused her to respond to the Lord in that way, even being outside of the covenant? It says in Matthew 17, verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Could she have perhaps heard that story? That a child with a demonic issue was healed. The third was a disability found in Mark chapter 10. His name is Bartimaeus. And we read from verse 46 of chapter 10, Mark's gospel. When they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And you know the story, how those who were with him said, be quiet. It's not your place. Don't disturb the master. It's not for you. And what did he do? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to be out of line here. No, he was desperate. This was his opportunity. Jesus was passing by. The scripture says he cried out even more. Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Bring him forward. And then Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I'd like to have a seeing eye dog. No, that's not what he said. I want my sight. I want my disability to be cured. And Jesus did it and said to Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. Oh, that Jesus, the living, resurrected Christ, would pass through this morning by His Spirit in this little town of 1,400 people, this building that we're in right now, of 100 people sitting here. And Jesus, wanting to minister especially to those who are bearing pain and suffering this morning and have heard of Him, and faith is rising in your heart that He is with us this morning, and He hears my cry, He knows my pain, He loves me, and it's Jesus passing by. We go out to Southern California quite frequently, almost every year. Several years ago, we were out there and we took a drive to Newport Beach. And we were sitting in a coffee shop in Newport Beach at Newport Boulevard and the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway. And we were just sitting there enjoying our coffee and bagel. And then we noticed on the main highway, the Pacific Coast Highway, all the traffic ceased to be. There were no cars for 10 or 15 minutes. And then we saw the black limos passing. And one was a stretch limo carrying President Clinton. And he was on his way down to San Diego to have a television debate with Bob Dole, most powerful man on the face of the planet at that time. And if I'm sitting in that coffee shop with my pain inside, my issue, my disease, my disability, my demonic problem, whatever it might be, and I cried out, President Clinton, have mercy on me. What do you think would have happened? Would he stop? I'm going to help that man. I'm going to do something for him. No, he didn't even notice. Aren't you glad Jesus is not like that? That Jesus doesn't just pass him by. One soul crying out in faith, Jesus, help me. Last one was an issue of death. Disease, demonic, disability, death. It's found in Luke chapter 7, verse 3. Verse 2. A certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, that's the fourth one, this man heard something about Jesus, his words, his works, we don't know what. But he had a servant who was dear to him who was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. And you know the rest of the story. He didn't consider himself to be worthy for the Lord to even come into his house. And he made this great statement, Lord, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And that's what Jesus did. He healed this man's servant. In chapter 8, verse 49, we read, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher any further. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Perhaps the centurion heard something like this. Even in a death-threatening situation, just speak the word, Lord. You have the authority. You have the power. And Jesus said of this Gentile, "I've not found such great faith, even in all of Israel. Go your way. As you have believed, let it be done for you." So just summing up our four stories, listen to me. Two of these people believed for themselves. That they believed that Jesus could do something for them. Their prayer would have been, "Lord, help me." Right? "Lord, help me." That was the woman who had the issue of blood. That was Bartimaeus. They heard about Jesus, who he was, his great power, his great works, his love for all. "I believe he can do something for me. Lord, help me." The other two believed for others. They believed for others. It wasn't just about me. Heal my soul. Heal my marriage. Heal my broken heart. Heal my finances. No, it was, "Lord, heal my loved one." It was somebody else. The woman, the Syrophoenician, concerned about her daughter who was demon-possessed. The centurion about his servant who was sick and dying. "Lord, heal my servant. Lord, heal my daughter." And so some of us here this morning are bearing a real pain deep within because of a loved one. Almost every day I pray what I call 3 P's. Praying for parents with prodigals. I call it my 3 P's. Praying for parents with prodigals. Because I personally know, up until yesterday, there was only 25, but I met Shirley at the thrift store and asked her, if there's one thing I could pray for you personally, what would it be? She said, "Pray for my son Michael and my daughter Samantha." So now I've got 26. So there's 26 couples that I know, most of them in ministry, that I pray for almost every day because these parents are hurting. Really hurting because they've got kids who are prodigal. On that list, I've got 4 Rebeccas. 4 Rebeccas. God knows, because I pray so frequently, I'm not looking for brownie points, but I can name them. I could name them, all 26 right now, and the parents. Because these people are hurting. But that's what it was with the centurion. That's what it was with the Syrophoenician. "I've heard about Jesus. I believe he can do something for my daughter, for my servant, for my son, for my family member." Hallelujah. Have you heard about Jesus? What have you heard about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? There's a verse in the Bible that says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Oh, that that would be so this morning. That it would please God to come and minister to many hearts this morning. These people were not only hurting, but they were desperate. Years ago, I can remember it like it was yesterday, many, many years ago now. I was in a bad way. I was really down, broken, defeated, and I thought, Lord, the Christian life has got to be more than this, because I certainly don't have it or have the victory. I believe, but it's not working for me. And so I went home, and that afternoon I wrote on a piece of paper and I said, Lord, these four things are huge in my life. They are huge issues in my life. And I'm going to go to that meeting tonight and I'm going to ask for prayer, and you've got to do something for me. And I went to that meeting. It hadn't gone 5 minutes, starting with some singing. And I said, excuse me, I'd like prayer. I was desperate. I couldn't wait. So I told them what I just told you. I said, I've got a piece of paper here. I said, I've got four things. And I handed it to the pastor and I said, I've got four things here and I want prayer. God's got to do something for me. I mean, they were huge. You understand what I'm saying? They were huge issues in my life. One of them, probably the biggest one, maybe you can relate, was fear in all of its aspects. And so I said to the pastor, do you want to read my list? He said, no. God knows what's on your list, but we're going to pray. And God did something that Sunday night. It was an out-of-character boldness because I was desperate. But I'd heard something about Jesus that I believe that he and he alone could do something for me. And God did. Sandy, how do you know that God did something that night? Because I can only remember one of the four things. The other three things were huge, but I can't even remember what they were now. I do remember the fear. And I believe that God wants to minister to us this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray, first of all, for those people who are bearing some kind of pain, some kind of hurt, you got some kind of issue going on, and you want prayer this morning because you're asking Jesus, Lord, heal me, touch me, deliver me, whatever, me personally. I've got this issue personally, Lord, and there's got to be something in you that's not bravado, but it really is founded in faith. Faith in who God is, faith in what Christ has accomplished, faith in the promises of God and the truth of God's word. There's got to be something in you that says, like I did those many years ago, I refuse to accept this. On the basis of your word, Lord, on the basis of your promises, I refuse to accept this. And some of you, you can say, Lord, I've lived with this for 30 years. I've lived with this a long time. But on the basis of your word this morning, Lord, I refuse to accept this. So do something for me. I'm desperate. If you're in that category, I ask you to come forward right now. And we're going to pray for you. You come forward right now. If God is speaking to anyone personally, Lord, heal me, touch me, whatever it is, whatever the issue is, you come forward right now, and we're going to pray. We'll wait for you. You know if God has spoken to you or not. He loves you. We sang a song about whom the Son sets free earlier. And I wasn't free. He wants to set you free. Anybody else, before we move on, pray. Jesus passing by. This is your moment. Got this wrestling going on inside. Should I? Shouldn't I? Or I've responded before in the past, didn't work. All kinds of arguments and objections you can throw up, all negative. But God's speaking faith into your heart this morning. You come forward. It's not me, it's Jesus that you've got to look to. The resurrected Christ who is with me, with us this morning. I want you to forget about the person who's beside you. Forget even the fact that you're in a church building this morning. It's you and Jesus. You're looking alone, personally, to Jesus Christ yourself. Forget about everybody else. Forget about making a fool of yourself, because those people were desperate and they would not have no for an answer. So what I want you to do is begin yourself, begin crying out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You just begin praying, crying out to Him out of your desperation, out of your pain. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Cry out to Him. Call out to Him where you're at right now. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Do for me, Lord Jesus, what you did for these people. These two, Lord, that were so desperate. They tried everything, Lord. Whatever their issue was, and it didn't work. But I believe you can heal me. I believe you can set me free. I believe, Lord, you don't want me to live like this. Lord, have mercy on me. Cry out to Him. Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, Lord. Deliver me. Set me free. Provide for me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. He's with us this morning. He's passing by. He loves you. Be it unto you according to your faith. Every man, every woman, every young person right here, you receive in Jesus' name what you're crying out for. You receive in Jesus' name what you're asking for. He gives you the desires of your heart. Your desires are good. Your desires are godly. Your desires are seeking to be God-honoring, to give Him praise. Lord, I pray that you would move by your might, by your power. Stretch forth your hand, Lord Jesus, in your name. We pray together as a church, boldly, Lord. We come to the throne of grace boldly this morning. Lord, not working something up, but on the basis of who you are and what you've done, Lord. These are our brothers. These are our sisters, Lord. And they're hurting this morning. They're bearing pain. Come, O great physician. Come and heal. Come and deliver. Come and set them free, Lord. Come and provide where they have need. O God, do many miracles in their hearts this morning. Bring great testimony, Lord, to the glory of your name, because you've met with us this morning. You've come and healed us. This is the new covenant, Lord. This is what you've come to do in the lives of people who've been bound, who've been in sin. Set them free this morning, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Just come with your healing balm, Lord. Come with your word of truth, Lord. Let the truth of God set each and every one of these free this morning. We give you praise. Begin to thank Him now. I believe, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for touching me. Thank Him now. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Let's sing it together. He touched me.
He touched me.
Each of these, Lord, walk in this newfound liberty, this newfound wholeness as a result of your ministry, Lord, through each man, each woman, each young person who's come forward. I pray, Lord, that their souls would be flooded even right now through the, Lord, release of the Holy Spirit with just overflowing joy, Lord. And gratitude to you for ordaining, Lord, this service, for ordaining this word, Lord, at this point in time for them when they heard again who you are, what you've done on the cross when you said it's finished, you accomplished it all, and you set captives free. Oh, Lord, just seal your word to each of their hearts now. And bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless each of you. God bless you. God bless you. The second group in our word this morning, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, they heard about Jesus and believed Jesus could do something, not so much for themselves, but for someone else that they loved, someone else that they cared for. And it's those people that I want to pray for now. And I want you to come forward, husbands and wives, or parents of prodigals, or there's a friend, a loved one, a sibling, a parent, someone that is not right with the Lord. You can hardly bear the thought of them perishing eternally. And we want to cry out to God for their salvation. I want you to come forward now. And we're going to pray for those who are on your heart. Coming as a couple, stay together if it's a child that you have. Hallelujah. The centurion and the Syrophoenician woman, they were both desperate too. But they believed that Jesus could and would do something. You believe that too, don't you?
Amen.
That he loves deeply the person that you care about.
Yes.
The person that is causing you pain, you've shed tears because of where they're at. I want you just to begin, again, like the first group, just forget about everybody else. Forget where you are. It's you and Jesus. Begin to cry out their names. Just begin to cry out their names to the Lord. Cry out that name to the Lord that you want Jesus to seek them out as the great shepherd. Seek out these lost sheep. Seek out these prodigals, these wandering souls. These hard nut cases, they seem so hard, so impossible. But we're looking to a great Savior. If he can arrest a Saul of Tarsus, apprehend a Saul of Tarsus, he can apprehend your loved one. And we're going to believe him to do that. Sooner or later, we're going to believe him to do that. and save them. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you who are sitting out there, these are your friends. I want you to come up to the front, many of you, and gather around them and pray for them, pray with them for their loved one. Will you come and do that? Join with them, these who have come forward. They've got loved ones that are breaking their hearts. Stand with them. Intercede for them. Intercede boldly. Cry out to God boldly on behalf of their loved one. Let everyone have a partner. Come on, we need prayers to stand with them. Maybe they've lost faith. Maybe they've lost hope. But you coming, this is the reason I'm asking you to come and pray, is that you believe the Word of God. You believe in Jesus. You start praying for them and crying out to God. Find out what's the name of the loved one that they want prayer for. And you pray with them. Amen? Lord, hear our prayers this morning. We are naming these people, Lord. We are naming them. They're close to us, Lord. They're our flesh and blood, many of them, Lord. And they're lost. How much more do you love them than we do, Lord? Oh, God, we cry out to you today, this Sunday, May 5th, 2019, in this place. God of heaven, omnipotent God, omnipresent God, all-loving God, move in power, Lord. In the lives of these loved ones, we're crying out. We're bringing their names before you. Cry out their names, Lord. All these Rebeccas, Lord. We bring them before you. Lord, for Jenny, Lord, for Jared, Lord, for Nick, for all these loved ones, for Kaylee, for Alexa, Lord. We cry out to you for our loved ones. Oh, Jesus, even right now, send your word. Expose them to the gospel. Expose them, Lord, to your word again. Let them know, Lord, you're the God of a second chance. Reach out to these prodigals, Lord. Reach out to these lost sheep. Find these coins, Lord, that bear your image. Seek them out and find them and put them back in circulation again. We just believe, Lord, we're going to hear testimonies this morning in the days ahead of what you did. You've heard our cry, just like you heard the cry of that Syrophoenician, that centurion. You heard our cry, Lord. Just speak the word. Oh, Lord, your arm is not short that it can't heal, it can't reach these loved ones. You know where they are, Lord, in all their rebellion. We pray, have mercy on them. Please have mercy. Please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're seeking love, Lord. They're seeking purpose. They're seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places. Oh, God, have mercy on them. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Deliver from evil, Lord. Lord, some of them are bound up with demonic interference. We pray, rebuke, Lord, the devil. Rebuke the enemy. In Jesus' name, rebuke Satan, Lord. Rebuke, Lord, those evil spirits that have control over these lives. In Jesus' mighty name, break it, Lord. Turn their eyes upon you, Lord. Turn their eyes to you. Speak faith into their hearts, Lord. Oh, God, we've heard so many stories, Lord, testimonies of you bringing these prodigals back, some famous. Do it for these, our loved ones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing our cry this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray. I want to pray for these parents. I want to pray for these who are bearing this pain. Lord God, oh, minister to them, Lord. Give them hope. Lord, keep them firm. Keep them strong in the faith, Lord. Keep them encouraged. Keep them built up, not to quit, not to give up. Lord, together, collectively, we say we refuse to accept this. We refuse to accept that any one of our loved ones, particularly these that we're praying for, Lord, will perish. We refuse to accept this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you will that none should perish, Lord. Oh, God, rescue them, we pray. Hallelujah. Glorify your Son, Father, by doing this great work through the power of your Spirit and the authority of your Word. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing in the unseen realm, Lord. We thank you for blessing us and strengthening us. Thank you for giving us hope. Oh, God, we've asked in faith, believing, Lord, and we believe that we are with our own eyes going to see, Lord, the providence and the provision of God in our own lives and in these we've prayed for. All for your glory, Lord. All for your honor and praise. Amen.